Chapter 86. Jesse had done a lot of hard things in his life. He played minor league ball and was one step away from the majors. He'd been in the Marines, been an L.A. street cop and detective. He'd run a police force and been through a divorce. He'd had to kill men and watch as a man murdered his fiancée right before his eyes. Maybe the hardest thing he had ever done was to give up alcohol. That was different from not drinking. He'd done that for long stretches in the past. What he'd done by going to rehab and meetings was a commitment he meant to honor for himself and for Diana. But he was about to test himself, and he wasn't at all sure he'd pass. The scupper was buzzing with activity, every bar stool taken, the booths and tables full. The juke was blasting Aerosmith's Dream On, and half the guys in the place were playing note-for-note air guitar along with Joe Perry. And the rush of it all came roaring in, as Dix had warned it would. It's as much about the rituals and atmosphere as the drinking itself. Although Jesse tended to be a solitary drinker, he did enjoy the occasional bar night out. He was distant from it now, observing, watching the alcohol-induced smiles and camaraderie, the backslapping and hugging, listening to the laughter that was a little too loud for the joke that was told. The problem was, he wasn't sure how long he'd be able to hold it at arm's length. There were two faces in the mix he was happy to see. One belonged to the person he'd come to find, James Earl Vanderkamp, and the other belonged to the barman. Joey O'Brien called out to him,
"Yo, Jesse, what's up?"
Jesse leaned in close to the bar. "Listen, Joey, you know that special scotch you keep on hand?" O'Brien raised his palm to stop Jesse.
"Understood," the barman winked. "Only the best for you, Chief."
"Good. I'll be with him at the table," Jesse pointed at James Earl. "Make his doubles of what he's drinking. I'm buying. Send a round over now and keep them coming. Remember, mine is from your special bottle." Joey's face showed that he didn't much approve of Jesse's company. But bar owners can't afford to be judgmental types, not if they want to stay in business.
"Whatever you say, Jesse."
Jesse could see that James Earl was already half in the bag and raring to go for the gold. James Earl's face lit up when he noticed Jesse standing by his table.
"Hey, Chief, sit down, sit down."
James Earl shooed away his minder.
"You, get lost," he said,
pointing at the dull-eyed man of 40 across from him.
"I'm not likely to get in much trouble if I'm with the chief of police. Go on to my daddy and tell him I'm in good hands."
The man hesitated, but left. Jesse had no doubt he'd call Leon Vanderkamp the second he got outside, so Jesse had to work fast.
"I got a round headed our way," Jesse said as he sat down.
"There are certain privileges that come with being the top cop in town, and a bottomless glass is one of them."
"I'll drink to that."
James Earl sucked down the bourbon in front of him just as the round Jesse ordered arrived. Jesse threw a 20 on the waitress's little round tray and said, "Keep 'em coming." He picked up his rocks glass of dark amber liquid and raised it at James Earl. They both sucked their drinks down and slammed their empty glasses on the table. Jesse couldn't quite believe how the act of drinking, regardless of the fact that there was only tea in his glass, brought the buzz back. He felt the warmth at the back of his throat, in his belly, and spreading out into his body. The mind, he thought, was incredibly powerful. They repeated this two more times before Jesse spoke. By his third double of tea, the placebo effect had, thankfully for Jesse, disappeared. The real stuff was getting to James Earl.
"How you feeling, James Earl?"
"It's all good, Jesse Stone, it's all good."
"Your daddy always have clowns like that guy trailing you around?"
Jesse asked, hoping it would bring out whatever rebelliousness James Earl kept alive inside himself.
"Fuck that guy and my daddy. Man, you have no idea what a curse it is to be born into the world I was born into."
"I think I can imagine." Jesse thought he should wait for another round before he pushed, but James Earl had stuff he wanted to say.
No, you can't even, Jesse. I don't hate Jews or blacks or Chinese people. I don't hate no Mexicans. I never really met none except the ones screaming at me and Daddy. My life is like living in a walled city where everyone in it is like a brick. Sometimes I think I'll choke on all the hate. I don't hate people. I swear I don't. I like people. I like you.
And I like you, James Earl, Jesse said, patting him on the shoulder. But I hate what people like your daddy stand for. Jesse felt sorry for James Earl. Over the course of his life, Jesse had met many people who felt trapped by circumstance and family dynamics. He thought particularly of gang members in L.A. They were born into lives that often seemed predetermined, short and violent ones. Lives from which escape seemed impossible. Come on, let's get out of here, Jesse said, slurring his words slightly for effect. He wanted to make sure they got out of there before Leon Vanderkamp sent reinforcements to collect James Earl. We'll go for a ride. James Earl gave Jesse a bleary-eyed look.
You sure you should be driving?
I'm police chief.
That's the truth. Sure, let's go.